So my talk today, I'm going to give you a brief introduction to New York City and to our immunization information system, the IIS, talk about uptake of adolescent vaccines, missed opportunities to vaccinate that we identified, present our coverage estimates, and end with conclusions and next steps. New York City has a population of over 8.2 million people, and we have approximately 125,000 births annually. We have approximately 1,800 facilities that immunize children. About three quarters of our children are VSC eligible, and our coverage rate for the 431-331 series is unfortunately only 72%, and that was the NIS 2006 data. Our New York City IIS, which we refer to as the Citywide Immunization Registry, or CIR, is mandated to have reporting. So the New York City Health Code does mandate reporting by all immunizing providers. And in 1997, when it went live, this was for all children up until 8 years of age. And then in 2005, this was expanded to all children and adolescents up to the 19th birthday. The CIR is populated with birth certificates that are loaded weekly, and we do meet the functional standards for a fully operational registry. There are over 3.3 million records with over 33 million immunizations in the registry. We've undertaken a few recent initiatives with the CIR, and I think these are important in terms of enabling us to get to the point where I can present some of the data that I will in a few slides. The first is that we linked VFC vaccine accountability to reporting in the registry. So basically, if I give you 100 doses through VFC, I expect to see those 100 doses in our registry. And if not, that tells me that you don't actually need all that vaccine. And so your VFC orders will be adjusted accordingly. Not surprisingly, that resulted in a 70% increase in reporting to the CIR. So at this point, we're currently accounting for 95% of all our VFC vaccine, and that's on a dose-by-dose basis. We started in 2007 sending provider report cards quarterly. So we send all of those 1,800 sites a report card that lists how well they're reporting their VFC vaccine or their doses administered report as a percentage. They're getting their up-to-date coverage for the two-year-olds in that practice, as well as if they had an AFIX assessment, we'll include that percentage. We've also been focusing on increasing electronic reporting. So we get about three quarters of our data either by batch files or entered directly online. And this has really improved the timeliness as well as the accuracy of the data that we're getting. So needless to say, all of this has resulted in more complete data, allowing us to really start looking at monitoring vaccine uptake as well as developing our coverage estimates. And this will just give you an idea of where, I can't actually see the mouse. You can see the increase that we've had with the red bars are all the immunizations given to children under eight. And you can see that large increase for 2006 and 2007. And the blue bars are the adolescent vaccinations, basically, or 8 through 18. And the arrow there shows you where we had our health code change, and there was a bump up of immunizations to this age group. And then, but from 2006 to 2007, we've had a further increase. That's a 40% increase in the reporting of adolescent immunizations. So one of the factors, of course, was that there have been new recommendations for adolescent immunizations. And as most of you in the audience will know, in 2005 and 2006, new vaccines were licensed and subsequently recommended by ACIP for routine use in adolescents at the 11 to 12-year-old visit. And I'll be focusing on that age group throughout the talk. The vaccines that I'll focus on are meningococcal conjugate vaccine, or MCV4, Tdap, and the human papillomavirus vaccine. And on the slide are the dates when these vaccines were licensed and then made available through VFC. Another factor for us in New York City was for this past school year, for 2007-08, we have a new Tdap requirement for all sixth graders, adding another sort of level of challenge to our work. So I'll walk you through this graph. This is the uptake of all of these, and I'm focusing on meningococcal, conjugate, Tdap, and HPV vaccines. So this is uptake of all of the vaccines in the CIR for And now again, we're focusing on that 8 to 18-year-old group. And so these are just all shots of those vaccines to, you know, males, females, and regardless of how many doses of HPV that they got. You can see, starting on what would be your left, the dates, the arrows point out the dates of when the vaccines were licensed and then available through VFC. And then MCV4 is in orange, Tdap is in blue, and then HPV is appropriately in pink. And you can see that really from 2005 to the current period, that there has been an overall increase in the uptake of adolescent vaccines. It was fairly slow, and so there was a little bit of a bump up after we changed the health code. And with the requirement of the VFC reporting, we had another bump up. But I think what to me is quite impressive is the increase we've seen in 2007. And this is all real increase and not sort of reporting artifact. Obviously, there's with the new recommendations, more kids are getting those shots. But we've actually been distributing 80% more Tdap vaccine in 2007 compared to 2006, and 40% more meningococcal vaccine. So what we had wanted to do, and this actually happened last October, I have quarterly reviews where I have to present to our commissioner and show that we're on track for all of our immunization goals. And in preparation for that, we wanted to see how well we were doing with the school, the new school requirement, and we wanted to look at the uptake of Tdap. So what this graph shows you is, again, what we're calling our school requirement effect. And now it's meningococcal vaccine, it's Tdap, and it's just the first dose of HPV. So we can compare just one, you know, single doses. And now we're looking again at the 11 to 12-year-olds, and we're focusing again on that group that should have routine vaccination at the adolescent visit. And because of HPV vaccine, we're looking just at females. So previous to the school year, you can see that all three vaccines, there was similar uptake in the curves, have a similar slope, and they overlap. But of course, there's a school year, and starting in sort of July, August, you see that big uptick in the Tdap, peaking for school year in August and September, and then coming down for October and November. Whereas there, those the meningococcal and HPV lines are staying pretty much the same, perhaps slightly increased. There's a small little peak of HPV and meningococcal. And our concern was, you know, this is missed opportunities. We're having all of these girls are coming into their provider's office, whether it be family practice or pediatrics, and they're not getting their HPV or meningococcal vaccine at the same time. And of course, this was a greater concern with HPV vaccine, with the challenges of getting a three-dose series into the child. Now, this is the same graph that I showed you, and this is just focusing on males. And again, we're seeing the same effect, that these boys are basically, they're being seen by a doctor, they're getting a Tdap, and they're not being given that meningococcal vaccine. And to quantify this for you again, we were focusing on the period related to school rush. And so this is August to October of 2007, and for those 11 to 12-year-old females, there were over 14,500 girls who got a Tdap, but just over 10,000, or 71%, had not gotten their meningococcal vaccine at the same time. And similarly for HPV, over 10,000, another 71%, were not given that HPV vaccine at that visit. And for this analysis, we excluded any of the girls who, for example, may have had their first two doses of HPV and were not due yet for the third, and they're excluded from the analysis. So these are, again, all girls who could have been vaccinated at that visit. And interestingly, some of the girls were given an HPV vaccine and not meningococcal. Some got meningococcal vaccine and not HPV. So it's over 8,000 girls, or 58%, that did not get either of the vaccines that would have been recommended at that visit. For the 11 to 12-year-old males, close to 15,000 received a Tdap, but again, 69% were not given a meningococcal vaccine. So we saw this the end of October, and of course, we took immediate action. And in November, we sent a letter to all providers, and we reinforced the adolescent immunization schedule, alerting the providers to the missed opportunities that we were seeing and the need to really vaccinate those 11 to 12-year-olds. This letter was sent by fax to all the providers, by email, and also through our Health Alert Network. We collaborated with New York State American Association of Pediatrics, Academy of Pediatrics, to make sure that the letter got out to their pediatricians. And also in November, it happened, the timing worked out well, that we launched for the CIR an expanded decision support algorithm. And that actually goes through the lifespan, but did focus on do now recommendations for the adolescent vaccines. I'll turn now to our coverage estimates. And again, we estimated coverage for the 11 to 12 year olds, and this is based solely on CIR data. And the numerator and denominator is listed on the bottom. So we use census data for numerator, for denominator, and the numerator was all children born in 1995 and 1996 who had gotten one dose of the vaccines that I'll talk about prior to January of 2008 and after their 10th birthday. So for TD and Tdap, overall coverage was 45%. The majority of those children had gotten a Tdap, with Tdap coverage at 39%. For meningococcal and HPV, and just looking at HPV first dose, those were similar coverage at about 18%. Now we want to know how well are we doing compared to other estimates that are out there, and what was available were the national NIS teen estimates for 13 to 17 year olds. And those numbers are shown in the hatched bar. And what we did is we replicated this analysis, selecting children for the same time frame that was used for NIS. So the same birth dates and the same time frame when the questions were asked. And for Tdap and TD, we were unfortunately lower at just about 30%. But what we're quite pleased with is the increase in coverage that we see from 2006 to 2007. So coverage increased to 41.6%. For meningococcal vaccine, the national estimate was just at 11.7%. We were close to that at 9%, but again, we made significant increases in coverage in 2007, reaching just about 22%. And HPV was not included in the NIS survey. And again, 2006 was only 1 year. So for the 2007 coverage, again, for really the first full year of implementation, we've been able to reach 23% coverage for girls in that age group. I want to say a word more about HPV coverage, because we looked at coverage by age range for two-year cohorts, as well as looking at first dose, second dose, and third dose coverage. And this is what we had, well, we see this in the registry data. We also got this information from a provider survey we did. But clearly, providers are preferentially vaccinating the older teens. The 15 to 16-year-olds have the highest coverage at 24%, with the younger girls having lower coverage. What is really of concern to us is that it looks like girls are not getting their second doses and their third doses, and certainly many of these girls had an opportunity to have been vaccinated with their second dose within this one-year time frame. So that's another point for action for us upcoming. So just to summarize, we've seen increased uptake of all adolescent vaccines from 2006 to 2007. The new Tdap school mandate was associated with higher uptake, which was not a surprise, but compared to MCV4 and HPV vaccines. Missed opportunities for vaccination of adolescents were identified in approximately 70% of all 11 to 12-year-olds. And again, those vaccination rates are low for that second and third dose of HPV vaccine. So in conclusion, the increased completeness of our CIR data has really allowed us for tracking and uptake of the newly recommended vaccines. And CIR was able to provide local and real-time data to guide program actions. And this allowed for timely action and follow-up. Our future directions, we are going to be doing a data matching with our Medicaid managed care plans, where we're going to be assessing adolescent coverage through file matching with our CIR. This is going to cover approximately 400,000 adolescents in the New York City area. And again, that information will be sent back to the plans for them to do recall of the adolescents. And we're going to expand that provider report card, and we'll start telling providers this year how well they're doing with adolescent coverage. So we'll include a sort of adolescent up-to-date summary figure for them. We plan to pilot adolescent assessments through AFIX, And of course, with the new school year, we'll soon be here, and we will send advance communication to the providers for that 2008-09 school year, so they're prepared for the TDAP requirement, but also to really reinforce these recommendations and really reinforce that need for simultaneous administration with meningococcal vaccine and HPV. I must acknowledge my collaborators on this project who are listed here, and perhaps a big thanks to Michael Hansen, who's in the audience, who without him, all of this data analysis, beautiful graphs wouldn't have been done. So thank you very much.